Welcome to the Natural Radio Show. My name is Sandra Mendes, and I am the host for the Natural Radio Show, where beautiful women and men worldwide come together in peace, harmony, and respect to discuss enriched conversations about life skills and self-development. Please be advised that this is a 30 to 45 minute podcasting, and tonight's topic is about understanding the difference between healthy and unhealthy conflicts. Now, I know some people are wondering, what is the difference between having a healthy an unhealthy conflict? And a lot of times I feel that when people do disagree or come to a disagreement about something, that emotions get involved, and sometimes people's perception or views get misconstrued, all because, you know, people may feel as though they are entitled to their views, entitled to their emotions, and entitled to the fact of feeling the way that they feel in and being okay with just the conflict at hand. Now, you got some people that are, you know, problematic, meaning they love to deal with issues or be in hostile environments, you know, or things that's conflicting. They like to do that because at the end of the day, misery loves company. However, on the contrary to that, you got some people who are mature and they understand that problems are going to happen, problems are going to come up, and that people are not going to always agree with each other. And that's why the notion of agreeing to disagree with each other is at hand. It's something that's said so that way people could learn what compromising is all about. Okay, so there is a difference between having a healthy conflict and an unhealthy conflict. Okay, so I feel like a lot of times people who are more mature are more about conflict resolution than about perpetuating and extending, you know, issues further on into other issues. Okay, so the first things first, okay, I wanted to talk about what is a conflict. Okay, I understand that everybody knows, you know, mature adults who are listening to my show, you already have a surface level understanding what a conflict is. However, they are the youth, younger people that listen to the show that may not really understand the context of a conflict in itself. Okay, so from my perspective, you know, conflict is when two people or more have a disagreement about something, or when their views oppose each other and can create a conflict. So that was my perception on what is a conflict. Okay, now in dictionary terms of what it means is a serious disagreement or argument, typically a protracted one. And protracted just basically means that something that is lasting for a long time or longer than expected or just unusual. Okay, so that's what conflict is about. Okay, and I also wanted to just highlight the fact that people can go through internal conflict and people can have external conflict with other people. Now, internal conflict could be something to whereas a person may not like something about themselves, or, you know, wish they could be something, you know, other than what they are, or whatever the case might be. Even in those situations, that can create a conflict within themselves. Or in the fact when a person wants to say no, but they're saying yes, that can create a conflict with another person, because it's almost as if you are betraying yourself when you know you want to say no, but you end up saying yes. So that's a conflict in itself, self-conflict. Okay, so now an external conflict, an example of that is when, you know, you have a person, you know, that just doesn't get along with people. They're not a people person and they just don't get along with other people. So let's say no matter what, you know, good ideas, or no matter what, you know, plans that are out that are good, that is good, you know, just because this person doesn't agree or not a people person, they will oppose it. And because of that, that can cause an external conflict, not only just with the person, but with everyone else, because that person is not on one accord. Okay, so that's more or less of an external conflict when you have someone who's not on board with an original plan or something to move forward and be able to resolve any issues, or it could just be, you know, a typical project or things of that sort. Okay, so now I wanted to highlight what conflict resolution is all about. From my perspective, I feel that conflict resolution is when people can resolve, or two or more mature people can resolve an issue and come to a common ground about a conflict or situation. Once again, as mature people, mature adults with emotional intelligence and awareness. Okay, so you have to understand that even in disputes, it's okay for people to voice how they feel and to get their views across or why they disagree with something. It's only to come to a resolution about the situation. Okay? It's not smart. It's not wise to invalidate another person's, you know, feelings or views, but to consider it and to be able to empathize with that person as far as understanding the dynamic of the situation and how to meet each other in the middle and resolve and move on from any disputes or issues that will be in the past. Okay, so what I wanted to do is share from Wikipedia, because it is a good source to be able to get information. I know some people try to downplay it a little bit, only because, you know, it's just so I guess available to the public that, you know, people may not value it as much, but I think it's a good source as far as getting a general understanding of something. Okay, so just give me a second. All right, so conflict resolution, and once again, this is coming from Wikipedia. I'm going to read what it says. It says conflict resolution is conceptualized as the methods and processes involved in facilitating the peaceful ending or conflict and retribution. A committed group members attempt to resolve group conflicts by actively communicating information about their conflicting motives or ideologies to the rest of the group that can consist of their intentions, reasons for holding certain beliefs, and by engaging in collective negotiation. Dimensions of resolution typically parallel the dimensions of conflict in the way the conflict is processed. So cognitive resolution is the way disputants understand and view the conflict with beliefs and perspectives, understandings, and attitudes. Emotional resolution is in the way of disputants feel about a conflict. The emotional energy behavior resolution is a reflective of how the disputants act, their behavior, and ultimately a wide range of methods and procedures for addressing conflict exists, including negotiation, arbitration, and diplomacy, and creative peace building. So that's what conflict resolution is all about. And now I'm going to take the moment for everyone to listen to another source. Her name is Dorothy Walker from TED Institution. So I just want you to just listen to her very carefully on clues and cues on how to deal with conflict resolutions, or some of the things that you can do when resolving a issue. Okay, so here goes.
The other day I watched a YouTube video where a veteran came home to surprise his wife and young children. There were tears rolling down everyone's cheeks. The children were holding on to their father for dear life. Even the dogs were bouncing off the walls. There was so much compassion and love that I started crying too. And I don't even know these people. Your energy and emotions are contagious. We transfer our energy to each other all the time, for better or for worse, often without realizing it. Maybe you've seen how one grumpy coworker can sink the mood of an entire conference room of people, or how one energetic sports fan can get the whole table of people cheering for their team. These are just three examples of what I call energy transference. And when I say energy, I'm not talking about particles, radiation, or thermodynamics. I'm talking about energy, like your personal feelings, moods, and attitudes. The people around you can feel your positive energy, and it can even shift their energy from negative to neutral, neutral to positive. And if you're upset, your negative energy can make others upset. I have seen how long-standing disputes have circled around the world endlessly, leaving so much pain and suffering. So I decided to go for my PhD in dispute resolution. I wondered if there were alternative ways to resolve conflict. So in my research, I interviewed 11 professional mediators and facilitators. They had decades of experience with major companies, governments, and family counseling. They all agreed that positive energy transference is an innate ability and a learnable skill, one that you can use in your daily life. Everyone can act as a mediator, whether it's in a formal mediation on a merger, a conflict with a coworker, an argument between friends or strangers, or even at home in the middle of the kitchen floor holding two children back as they throw punches at each other. So today, I'll tell you how to resolve conflicts transferring energy and using your positive energy. But first, a word of warning. To succeed, all parties of the conflict must want to work it out. In my first marriage, we went to a divorce counselor. And the first question she asked was, "Do you want to work this out?" I said, "No, not really." So she said, "Well, sorry, I can't help you." So we turned around and walked back out. So assuming that's not the case, here are three simple steps to unstick a conflict, move it forward using your positive energy, and come away with a peaceful resolution. Step one, prepare. One of the biggest mistakes you can make as a mediator is to jump right into a conflict when the emotions are high. Whenever possible, the best bet is to set a future date and time when the emotions and energy can settle and deflate, giving you the opportunity to get ready for the conflict and to start shifting positive energy into the mediation. For example, say your daughter wants to go bungee jumping and dad says, "No way." So she comes to you and asks you if you can help her talk to him. You think it's a crazy idea to tie a rope around your ankles and jump off a 500-foot bridge. But you can't say that because you're the mediator. So this is what you do instead. You schedule a time that's convenient for everyone. You meet in the most comfortable room that has no distractions. You make sure that Everyone has a glass of cold water. You meditate for a few minutes to eliminate outside distractions. This will allow you to focus, stay impartial, and bring your positive energy into the mediation. Step two, diffuse and move forward. In step two, you want to observe, listen, and ask questions to diffuse the conflict and move it towards a collaboration. Asking neutral questions will make people stop and think. During this pause will allow negative energy to start diffusing. During that time, the negative energy and emotions will start deflating, and that'll give you time to shift positive energy into the conversation. For example, I was a project manager and we were installing a major software system for payroll system. The contracts and schedules were finalized and the client requested a major change in the vendors. And this caused a heated conflict between the groups doing the work. Once you've prepared for the conflict, you have to sit down with all the major groups and start asking neutral, non-threatening questions. Ask questions like, well, how much will this cost and when can it get done? This will give you the intent that you're suggesting a collaboration. And you're going to ask, what do you think about this new change? This will help people diffuse and feel like they are validated. And also ask, are there other possibilities that we haven't considered? This will refocus on new ideas rather than fixed points of view. So when the smoke has cleared and the stone faces begin to melt, that's time to get a consensus. Once that's completed, you'll have that positive energy going for you. So step three. Step three is to make an agreement. I was told in the interviews that the energy in the room is constantly moving and changing. And once the energy is neutral, that's time to get a consensus in a verbal or written agreement. That's true of business and interpersonal conflicts too. I co-mediated a conflict between three college roommates. And we discussed everything from who would take out the trash on which days to how they would use the open living space. And even though this was a mediation between friends, we still wrote up a written agreement with specific steps to make sure there was no misunderstandings. I believe that there's a resolution to all conflicts. It just takes a willingness to try. Your positive energy that comes from your compassion, empathy, and sincere intentions, and it's your desire that sets it in motion. So I believe that everyone can use their positive energy to resolve the next conflict in their life. Thank you.
Okay, so that was Dorothy Walker. She was on TED Institute, and she talked about three ways to resolve a conflict. And I hope that you were able to gather some information on, you know, what can be a good technique. One thing that stood out with me is when she said that when you have a dispute with someone, or you preparing, rather, she said when you're preparing to resolve a conflict, one of the key things that she said was, you know, not to talk right then and there when people are in high emotions, but prepare a date and time where the person could actually have a discussion about the situation or conflict at hand, and to be able to you know, be in a comfortable environment where a person have drinks and everything when the date of approaches itself. Okay, so I think that's a good technique, because I feel like even in preparation, preparing a date, it gives a person time to assess their emotions, go through their emotions, and to reason with the situation, and to be able to get everything that they need to get out, whether it's negative or positive. And then when the day of, could be more in control of the situation by thinking of a positive outcome, a resolution, rather than perpetuating a conflict. So in other words, let's say, for example, you are really upset. I feel like a good technique for a person is when you not in agreement with someone and you're really upset with the person, it's good to write a letter, you know, and get all that toxic, you know, emotions, all of that toxic thoughts on paper, you know, what you really want to say to them. Like, if you feel like you want to curse them out or yell at them or, you know, do all of these things, do it through paper. Because I feel like as you're writing, you could say whatever it is that you want to say. But guess what? On that paper, you're not acting that out in behavior. You only taking the time out to get those negative emotions, filtering out those negative emotions and thoughts first. And then it's like, once you do that, you can actually read it over if you feel so, but it's giving you time to go through the filtration process of getting the negativity out. And then usually, you know, once you do that, you tear it up and throw it away and forget about it, because you know that whatever negative emotions or negative thoughts that you had is not going to resolve the issue. So you know that that's not a good technique of, you know, going about conflict resolution. So the best thing is to do, once you go through that phase as far as filtering out your emotions, the second phase will be to actually assess why you feel the way that you feel and reason with what you feel and see how you could see things from a different perspective rather than from a situation at hand that you just don't agree with. You understand? So it's like, when you go through that, you could write out a list of things, phase three, of what you would like to talk about as far as your emotions. You could sum it up into one. I did not agree with the situation. I felt X, Y, Z. You know, it's okay to bring it to the forefront, but it's how you say it and how you bring it to the forefront when you're having that discussion. Okay, so the goal is to come up with a conflict resolution, a solution. Okay. That's the goal. And to be able to leave, you know, the person or group or whatever the case might be, feeling okay, feeling enriched, feeling like you've gone through a milestone, you've gotten over something, you were able to either outgrow a immature emotion or was able to get a different perspective from the other person, and you get a whole 360 reasoning of why this situation took place. Okay, so I think that's the best technique to do. Even if you have to use a recorder and record yourself and you just acting like the person is in front of you, you just cursing them out and doing that, and then deleting the the message and never coming back to it again. That's another technique if you want to be able to filter out that negative emotion. But you have to be careful and responsible as far as disposing that letter, disposing that recording, because you don't want it to get into the wrong hands of a person. Okay, so this is how you can go about emotional intelligence, emotional awareness, and emotional management. Okay, which is good. All right. So now that I talked about what conflict is and what conflict resolution is about, I wanted to get to the meat of the difference, or understanding the difference between healthy and unhealthy conflicts. So the first thing that I wanted to highlight is unhealthy conflicts. Okay. So usually what you can look for as signs is when a person's lack of respect for other parties goes, is one aspect of you knowing that or realizing that this is an unhealthy conflict, because this person does not respect me, not even just me, but respect themselves enough to be cordial and understanding of a person's goal at hand. Okay, so they're not respectful of themselves the person or the situation, the goal at hand. So they lack that respect. Okay? Secondly is when they have explosive, angry, defensive, reactionary behavior. So that's another sign of unhealthy conflict, when a person does not think twice about reacting, not even just acting, but reacting out of anger and being defensive can be unhealthy, because you're closing out the person or will cause the other person to want to distance themselves. Or at times it could cause a situation where it's emotional abuse, okay, which is not good. So this is a sign of unhealthy conflicts. A third sign is focusing on winning the conflict itself, not the potential resolutions. You know how you have people who don't care about the other person's view or what they think, or just trying to invalidate another person's feelings or emotions or ideas. They just want to win the argument or conflict at hand because they just because. Right? So that's another sign of an unhealthy conflict, because when a person just wants to win an argument and not really resolve an issue, that person have a self-conflict within themselves, issues within themselves, and they are not a people person at all. They're not a people person, and that's not cool. Okay? The fourth would be they refusal to seek a compromise, and they would prefer to bully another person. Okay, so in other words, they're not trying to meet in the middle. They are not trying to agree to disagree with each other. They are, it's my way or the highway kind of mentality. And that's an unhealthy conflict, because that does leave room for the person to be a bully. And that's not a healthy conflict. And last thing, number five, is the fear of conflict or expectation of bad results. That's an unhealthy conflict. Okay? When a person is scared of being able to address something that is either making them feel uncomfortable about a situation, or they just don't agree with it and they feel fearful of, bringing it to the forefront, that is unhealthy. Okay, because it can cause toxicity, and it can cause a mental imbalance in a person and cause emotional abuse when you don't deal with the conflict accordingly. And then it says, or expectation of bad results. Someone always being pessimistic, always thinking that the outcome is going to be negative, is an unhealthy conflict. So now that I talked about unhealthy conflicts, I want to talk about healthy conflicts. Okay, so when both parties respect each other's viewpoints, that's what I'm talking about. That's emotional intelligence, emotional maturity, and that's a sign that the person is very empathetic of the person whom they are interacting with and the situation at hand. Secondly, they are calm, non-defensive, but open to understanding the full story and context in itself, rather than assuming and being argumentative or combative. Okay, third is a readiness to move past the issue and conflict towards resolution. Okay, so when you have two mature adults or two mature people, like, you know what, this is kind of petty, you know what I'm saying, we could get past this is not getting nowhere, let's resolve this issue, let's deal with it accordingly, let's get to it. You know, people that have that readiness, that's what I'm talking about, and they're not about problems, but they about solutions. That's a good thing. And then the desire to seek compromise. I love, 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 love when people can do that, come to a common ground, meet each other in the middle, you know, and not be immature as far as people being self-entitled, self-righteous, and just being an oddball, or someone who just don't want to get along with no one or situation, and having that mindset of it's my way or the highway kind of mentality is not cool. Okay, and last thing, the belief that confronting the conflict will benefit the individuals and the team. That's what I'm talking about. Because when you come to a compromise and you work on things together, it actually enriches and strengthens the relationship you have with other people, opposed to unhealthy conflicts where it causes and perpetuates a distance. A person always feeling as though they're walking on eggshells is not a good feeling at all. No one should have to feel that way, especially if you are a mature adult. Okay? So with that being said, I thank you all for taking the time out for listening to the Natural Radio Show. And I hope that you are able to gather some type of information that can help you look at conflict from a different perspective and understand the signs of when you are dealing with unhealthy conflict versus a healthy conflict, and knowing that you are on the right track when you are able to deal with conflicts and conflict resolution at the same time, conflict management in itself. So with that being said, thank you for listening to the Natural Radio Show, and you all have a wonderful night.